For my daughter, of course, right? Yeah, I figured. Any more visitors? Do you want Bubba to come back? Yeah? Do you remember the little bear's name? Mary. Wow, that's pretty good. I hope you guys are getting some of the scriptures out of this too, to tell you the truth. But I love how you guys are, you can remember the examples. I believe today's example will go as well. It will carry on. But the series of following Messiah and a faith journey with Him throughout life. Let us go back and remember where we started and the journey we have already went through. That is, we found that to begin a journey of faith with Messiah, we must first come to the knowledge that we are sinful. We struggle in our own faith. Without the Torah, we wouldn't know that we're sinning. We would just probably be creatures that want to look out for our own best interest. But thanks to God, He gave us the Torah. He shows us how to live that life. And we know that coveting and stealing and killing is a sin. And it separates us from God. Finding some of those behaviors in myself, I've had to acknowledge that I need Jesus and I need that Holy Spirit to help me every day with my battles. Last week, I did bring forth some bears. Bubba, who was on the outside, right? On the other side of the cross. And I taught you on the back side of the cross is where you're being raised because you're learning about Christ. You're learning the ways of God here in this church and here in your home. So we looked at that. We had a testimony today. Miss Katie said that she shouldn't have been here based on her previous life. But thanks to God for His unspeakable gift of salvation. Amen. All right, well, that leads me to today. Because today we're going to talk about surrendering your ways to His ways. I'll talk about this in a little while, but for most people, you can come to salvation asking God to forgive you of your sins and then sit in that pew week after week after week and not really work for Him. Is there a reason to work for Him? We'll get to that in a little while as well. But that's a tough one because surrendering to God's ways for your life, some people think, well, then I guess I have to go out on a mission field. That's not true. We can surrender to Him in our daily life today. Let's look first. I want to make it clear to the world out there, which I don't think will be listening, but if they do, that we're not saying that salvation is done by works. For we are clear about that in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. In 8 and 9 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." See, it's a gift. A gracious gift. Not as a result of works. So that no one may boast. There is no way we're going to earn our salvation. That is clear in that passage, in those scriptures. However, most churches and most people miss this next piece. It says, "For we are of His workmanship, created as Messiah Yeshua, Jesus Christ, for good works." There's no getting around it. There's good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. He prepared good works for Hezekiah. He prepared good works for Josh. He prepared good works for Trevor. He prepared good works for Pastor Mike, there's different kinds of good works, but He prepared them so we would walk in them. Okay? No doubt there. So that's clearly there. If you want more, you can ask your parents to read chapter 2 of James later on. Faith without works is dead. That is clear in the scriptures by James. But let's turn over to Matthew, what I based this sermon on, Because Jesus himself tells us how to approach those good works. I'm getting to the example in a little bit. Hang on with me. Matthew 6, 1 and 2 says, "Beware practicing your righteousness before men, to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Whoa, 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 whoa. It says reward. How many of you guys like rewards? I love rewards. I love rewards beyond doubt. Okay? But it says right there, it gives us instruction, don't do it to be noticed by men, other people, right? So, okay, I get that, Jesus. Goes on. So when you give to the poor, oh, there's an action. You're to give to those in need. The scripture in the Torah says you're to lend to those in need. Does that mean give it to them? Just give it to them outright? No, it says lend. Because there's a practice of that. And then on the seventh year, if they still can't pay you back, then you say, you know what? It's wiped out. If you practice it in the right way, you can get and glean from what God's Word says. Okay, so, going back. So when you give to the poor, do not sound the trumpet. Hey, yo, I'm giving $100 over here because this person needs it. Nope, not going to do that. Do not sound trumpets before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. I walk around campuses all the time and I see names on walls. And I go, you get millions of dollars. I don't know if you're not still going to get some reward for donating $20 million to build this. But it definitely got smaller in heaven, if that's what you were going for. Some people give, and they give so much that they want to honor them. I always wonder if they've put, you're going into the building of behavioral science anonymous. Right? If somebody would ever think of doing that. I might do that if I ever had that much money. But the Lord hasn't blessed me in that way to have that much money, so I don't have to worry about it. You see, so it says, don't sound trumpets. But in Matthew 5, 14 and 16, it says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And no one that lights a lamp puts a basket over it. Does anybody put a basket over it? No. Let your light shine, Jesus says, so that people, men, will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Does that contradict what we just read? Doesn't contradict it at all. Because if we're doing it, can people still see it? Yes. So if I'm over here and I'm helping the poor and I'm going out on a Saturday or whatever it may be, and they see me doing it every week, are they going to see it around me? Absolutely. They're going to see me doing it. But I'm not saying, hey, pay attention, this is what, I'm not trying to get the credit for it. Does that make sense? When I was at work for a little while in Lake Elsinore, there was a guy out there. I got to know him really good. He's a cool guy. And eventually he would go into my work and say, is Trevor there? Is he here? And they were like, dude, why is he coming in here? I got to know him, and then my boss said, hey, why are you getting to know him? I'm not sounding a trumpet. I was brought in because I was getting to know a guy that I would have dinner with every once in a while. And I was able to point to Christ. I'm doing what the scriptures say. I'm helping somebody. I'm getting to know them. They're still a person. So I wasn't sounding any trumpets. I wasn't trying to get any credit. But that's the example where those two scriptures, they don't contradict each other. They work together for each other. Does that make sense? All right. Let's jump down to 17 through 21. Jesus says in this piece, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. The interesting thing is that action, that blessing, nobody else may even know. Not even your spouse may know that you're fasting. So wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up your treasures on earth. Do you have a place where you store up money? You store up treasures here on earth? Right? When I was a kid, a yay, little scoundrel, they would call me. I would put it in my toy box. That was a good hiding place. Little did I know my mom was throwing it out little by little, right? Because she was preparing for Christmas or my birthday. So that wasn't a good place to store up my treasures. Do you have a place here on earth that you're storing up treasures? Because right there, Jesus says, don't store up treasures here where... Oh, don't store up treasures here where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. Or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, if you're doing what God wants, then you can be assured that you're part of His family. So when you're storing up those treasures, when you're doing those good works that God has created for you, your treasures in heaven are even getting bigger. Who wants a big treasure here on earth? Who wants $1 million here on earth? If I had to give you $1 million today, or I could give you riches in heaven, which one would you choose? Riches in heaven, I love that. Now, if I could have both, I'd say, God, come on, give me some here. But I'd rather have it there. That's a bigger piece, right? So what I'm going to do, we're talking about storing up our treasures in heaven. I'm going to have you turn over, and we're going to look about one of the parables that Jesus gave as an example of that. Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. Now, I want to, just quickly, I'm going to reference this because I had prepared to use two different parables. And one was the prodigal son, but I'm just going to go with the talents. The prodigal son, and in the same way, you're going to see this here as well. There's people that may have salvation, and the prodigal son says, hey, just give me my riches now. And what have I been saying the whole time? There's two ways. There's one way for death, and there's another way to salvation and eternal life, right? There's always those two choices. The prodigal son, he had to go all the way down, and he spent all that inheritance that he could have had. But then he comes back to the father, and the father, the parents, they never change. They're still there. But in that same way, the parents have to allow you to go out, maybe spend that money frivolously, and pray, promise your parents are going to be on their knees praying for you if that's the way you choose as you get older. But they're always going to be there for you if you want to return. All right, but we're going with this one, the parable of the talents, which picks up in verse 14. For it is just like a man to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Each according to his own ability, he went on his journey. God is calling you to salvation, and He gives you gifts. How are you using them, you ask? I don't know. This brings me to what I wanted to do today. Okay? I have no idea how you're going to use your gifts. But that's up to you. Because God gives everybody a gift, but they're not all equal. This is the first time you're coming to church, and somebody in church is going to give you something first. Don't open it. You can't open these until much later. Okay? I'm giving the kids the ones first. Here's yours. Now, God wants to give you a gift, right? He has gifts for all of us. And now I'll give them to the adults. And I'll come back around. Now, have your parents found their gift? I would say that, yes, some of them have. Some of them may not have yet. But, like Pastor Jeff, he is gifted in music, right? That's a gift. Is he using that gift for God's glory? Yes, he is. There's your two gifts. Here's yours. And thank you. Here's yours. Now, the interesting thing is, we have to help you in church. We have to help you as parents. We have to help you grow and mature in these gifts. Right? But what did I say? Are each of the gifts equal? They are not. They change. God gives gifts because He knows our future. He wants you to have many, many blessings. He's given you salvation. He's given you a way to know that you are His. Okay? Now, how many of you like spankings? I don't. But what if you do something wrong? Do you want to be corrected? I've taught in here that you should be saying thank you if somebody corrects you, right? In the same way, the Bible says that if you're corrected, don't despise the discipline of the Lord, but love His reproof, His correction, for in the same way your parents correct you because they love you. The world will say, no way, they can't correct you. They just got to mold you and guide you. No, they need to correct you. The Bible says that clearly. If they don't, they need to come talk to me, and I will talk to them, because I've been instructed in the ways of the world, and I'll tell you it doesn't work. But I will tell you this as well. Some people go overboard on some of those corrections, and that's why the world went the opposite, extreme opposite way. All right, to get back on here. So I've given you envelopes. God has blessings in store for you, but it's up to you to decide what you're going to do with them. Okay? Now, Matthew 25, let's read 16 through 18. It says, remember, the owner gave out so that they could do and make more money with it when he comes back. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who received the 2 gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Why would he go and dig a hole? How many of you, if somebody gave you something, would say, you know what? I'm just going to go hide it and not use it. You know, in the same way, I kind of see how if somebody isn't instructed on how to use those gifts, it's not very fair. They're going to stumble a lot more than the one who has been instructed. I was not taught how to invest money when I was younger and how to make money work for me. So I'm struggling through that as an adult. I'm hoping my daughters don't have to go through that same thing. But I can also come alongside somebody that can help show me how to do that. So I won't be struggling like I know some people do in retirement. I want to learn from other people. All right. Let's go down to 19 through 30. The one who had... Now, after a long time, years later, okay, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. He came back. Hey, what did you do with that money I gave you? What did you do in this case? Or that seed? The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents. Hey, I doubled what you gave me. Saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into joy of your master. You see, you're being blessed in that way. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more. That's pretty good. Doubling once again. Now, the master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. you were faithful in with a few things, I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, he had a different perspective on this guy, right? He said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground, so you have what is yours. I didn't lose it. I didn't invest it. I didn't do what you had given me to do with it. Now the master, looking back at that person, said to him, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. At least on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. So in other words, that $1, it could have been at least $1.25. But you just hid it in the ground. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw it out. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. Into the place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, thankfully, I was telling you I was going to parallel this with the prodigal son. The father takes him back in. You see. The son went out. He went into the world. He spent all that money. And then he's groveling. And he is eating out of pig slop. How many of you would eat from pigs rather than come back to your parents? Right? This passage talks about investing what God gives us. But that prodigal son said, even my dad's slaves, they're better off than this. I got to go back. And he humbled himself. When he got to his dad, did he say, hey, can I just come in and have my bed again? No. He came back and he said, Dad, I don't deserve anything. I spent all that inheritance. I am not even worthy to be called your son. I just want a place. If I can, I'll work for you the rest of my life. Do you see? He was willing to come back and just be called a slave. His father, however, was very happy. And he said, yes, son, my son is back. Very important passage. Because it also teaches us that the son that is continuing to till the ground and work the ground, we got to watch our hearts, because he was not too happy that his brother was back and his father was throwing a party for him. You see, we got to, if somebody moves forward in that peace and they've invested that peace that the Lord has given them, and in that way, God gives them even more responsibility, because how many of you know I like Spider-Man? Yeah. With much responsibility, right? With much power comes much responsibility. I like it so much that I found that it actually happens to parallel a scripture. I was like, yeah, okay. That's why he's my favorite. But I take this parable of the talents and I see what God has blessed me with. And I can't do anything but say, Lord, if you teach me your ways, if I need to come along somebody, help me to humble my ways, humble myself and walk, because I want to glorify you. I want to expand whatever I can for your kingdom. And so we take these gifts that God has given us, and you can open your gifts now that I have given to you and tell me, are they the same for everybody? A lot of times you might just be the one that's sitting in that pew or that seat, these comfortable seats, because pews can get very hard. But some people got even more. You see, some people got $5 bills. Some people got $10 bills. But the Lord knows what we can handle. He has given us all gifts. Today, if you ask anybody that goes to church, has your pastor ever given you money? They'll tell you no. But I have. God, and you can say, has God ever given you a gift though? And every one of those people that go to church should be saying yes. He's given you salvation and He's given you gifts to work for His kingdom and His glory. You have to choose. You may come to salvation, but you need to choose to live for Him every part of the way. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father in heaven, I am